You know, we are a big family.
Yeah.
You know, even as I look around here today, there are people that are visiting from the Toronto church. I know Lloyd and his family is her hair. There they are. We know, of course, Sonia is from Sierra Leone, who's been here visiting for a little while. And of course, introduced already, the Aleens are here, and we have people literally from all over the world. And to know that we're not alone is an encouraging thing, and to know that we can go almost anywhere in the world and to be like-minded with brothers and sisters all around the world is phenomenal.
Amen.
One of the things that comes with a big family is that we know a lot of people. And one of the things about knowing a lot of people, sometimes you get great news knowing a lot of people.
Okay.
There are other times when, because we know a lot of people, there are challenges, especially physical challenges, that is going on in our lives. And Mateus is back in Albania visiting his mom, who is very ill. As a matter of fact, she was in a coma recently, and she just came out of the coma.
Amen.
But she is gravely ill. And so I think it's only appropriate that we go to our Father in prayer and we give thanks for who He is, and let's pray for her. What's her name? Did she leave?
Nastia?
Ava. Sa. Let's pray. Akva. Let's pray. God knows who she is. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge without a doubt that you are the great physician. And we know as well that you are omnipotent. And Father, you are also so good. And Father, we want to meld those things together as we think about Mateus and Ava. I pray, Father, for healing for her even now. I pray that Mateus could be a great source of strength for that family. I pray that the peace that transcends all understanding comes upon him.
Amen.
I pray that the comfort that we have received through Christ will be showered upon them at this moment in time.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming before you. I pray we never take that for granted. And I pray, Father, as we speak even now, our dear brother will be encouraged in his soul. Thank you above everything for the death of Christ, because it meant life for us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If I were to say it to you, Evelyn, congratulations on winning the 100 meters Olympics. Man, we're so excited for Evelyn.
Wow.
She won the Evelyn.
Wow.
The Olympics starts in a few days. Evelyn, how does it feel if I were to actually say that you actually won the Olympics? That I say that?
You'll be lying.
I'll be lying. Would it encourage you that I say that? No. Why?
Because it's not true.
Unrehearsed, totally, absolutely, we did this. The title of my lesson this morning: the truth matters.
Amen.
It served no encouragement to Evelyn that I said that she won the Olympics. You know why? It's not true. It's simply not true. Truth matters. We are living in a time when it is becoming less and less relevant. We start having euphemisms,
right?
Alternative facts. Mm. Well, that's your truth.
Mm. Right. Come on, Tony.
And we are very transient in our understanding of what it means when we talk about truth.
Yeah.
It matters. It is important. I know if someone tells me something that is not true, At best, you know what I say? Thanks for trying, but it's not true. It's gotten to the point where if we say it often enough, or we say it loudly enough, we think it must be true. In our world today, when everybody has a loudspeaker, everybody has a platform, be it on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, or whatever. There are places that there's so many things. I am trying to get better at golf. And I look at people and they're giving me literally diametrically opposing views on how, what I need to do to get better. In other words, there's so much stuff out there. It's the same with stories and truths about God. We are becoming a less and less discerning society. One of the biggest mysteries in the world are how people listen to some people who have no credibility. And because something grows viral, it must be true. So many times. And after it is found out that it's not true, it almost doesn't matter because there's another viral thing going on. By the way, there's water in that blue container. If you want water, please go ahead and get one, okay? You can even get up during the sermon. I'm going to call you out, but you can still get up and go get it. Truth matters. The scripture tells us how important truth is. In John chapter 4, it says this. It's a scripture that we are quite familiar with, but in this context, I am doing a very dangerous sermon today. I'll tell you why it's dangerous. Because I am going to do what's called a topical sermon. And one of the problems with a topical sermon is that you go from scripture to scripture. And it is incumbent upon me to make sure that I don't say something because I simply want to create a narrative. Right. That I am treating the scriptures in a way that is unadulterated and that is objective with all sincerity.
Right.
And so that's the danger at times when you do a topical sermon. Which this one is. And prayerfully, I'll do justice to the scriptures.
Amen.
Jesus, after he had just talked with a woman who was badly in need of him, he says something that is relevant to the topic that I'm discussing here today. It says, yet a time is coming in John chapter 4, verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. What do the Father seek? Those who worship Him in what? Spirit and truth, not or. That conjunction, and, not or,
right,
goes on to say, God is spirit, and his worshipers hopefully worship in the spirit and the truth.
No.
They must worship in spirit and in truth. truth matters. Sometimes we can be so feeling oriented. Irrespective if someone is speaking the truth to us, we allow that to even challenge us in a way that is unhealthy. You see, it matters about our thoughts about God. The truth is, I'm going to use a word here that sometimes has some connotation, some stigma to it, that wrongly used has a problem. You see, theology is just simply thoughts about God. So in a manner of speaking, all of us has theology. Some people's thoughts more closely to reality than others. We really need to understand this. I love what Tauzer says. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. You catch that? If we think thoughts about God that is unworthy of Him, Tauzer says that's idolatry. You see, what we think about God matters. Because as we just read in John 4, worshiper who worship in spirit and in truth, that's what God desires. Our thoughts about God then must be true in order for it to qualify as genuine worship.
Right.
Let me say that again. Our thoughts about God must be true. Just like when I said to Evelyn a few minutes ago, congratulations on winning the Olympics. And she said, what you talking about, Willis? Did that serve a very encouragement? Nope. Why? It's not true. Why do we think our God deserves less?
Right.
That if we say and do things and think thoughts about God that is simply not true, it is a form of idolatry and is void and in vain. But that's not the world we live in. Everybody must be true and right, even though they are exactly the opposite in what they say.
Right.
Truth matters. The Bible is clear about this idea that we must understand that what we think about God overflows in our worship.
Amen.
Not only worship in the form of singing,
right.
Certainly that's a form of worship.
Right.
It's not exhaustive when it speaks of worship,
right.
But it's certainly part of it. And if we come together, one of the most abusive places in the world is the pulpit. I have your attention. And it's abused. Oftentimes. This is a high trust environment.
Right.
People come to church We sing songs. People generally dress nicely. But everybody smells good. Everybody has a smile on their face. There is a pleasantness about someone's disposition mostly. And so people come in this environment, and what starts happening? We unwittingly give our trust without knowing people. And the more we see people, we think we know them. How many of you thought you knew Bill Cosby when he was on television? How many of you see athletes and you see them every Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday, whatever your sport is, and you think, I know that person, only to find out that did something, you said, what? Or an actor that you've seen in many movies. They murdered someone for real? What is a mantra in the Ottawa church is that we worship God not only with our hearts, but with our
minds.
As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 22, we see what the scripture says. Matthew chapter 22. In verse 37, it says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. I want to raise a level of awareness. Not because everybody says Jesus means they're talking about the right Jesus. Not everybody says God. And so what happens in an environment like this? People come and somebody knows the lingo very, very well. You know who knows the lingo very, very well? I do. And the truth is, I have known this lingo for 38 years now. And I know you've entrusted your ears to me. I will have to stand before God and ask and answer the question, was your trustworthiness of me valid? And you're right, Satan does know the lingo as well, by the way. But my point is, I want to help you to understand something this morning. That we become discerning people. And that we entrust ourselves to people who prove themselves to be worthy. I have too many stories to tell you about people who have come and actually are predators when it comes to going to churches and trying to squeeze things from churches. And some people think they walk in. I remember when I was preaching in the church in Toronto, we had a service at a Roy Thompson Hall. There was about 2,500 people there. There's this couple that comes in, walks up straight to me after service, and says, wow, that was the best service I've ever been to. Trying to butter me up. Hey, I would like to know more about this church. Every preacher's dream.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to know more about this church. Your singing is great. Look at all the different people that are here. It's amazing. Different ethnicity, different. It's a multicultural, it's multigenerational. Whoa, Jack. We said, sure, let's start studying the Bible. They said, sure, let's study the Bible. We started studying the Bible. They were ready to get baptized. They did a lot of things that showed some good stuff. But then there were some questions that started coming up. Hey, I know a way that this church could get a lot more money to do a lot more good works for the Lord. I'm all ears. Well, it turns out they were multi-level marketers, and they saw this guy who had the command of the entire congregation, so to speak, and they think if they get to me, they can get to the rest of the church. When we said it's not going to be like that, we never saw them again. And I'm talking, couldn't get in touch with them, couldn't reach out to them. They were scheduled to be baptized on a Saturday morning and never to be heard from again. I can't tell you how many times. And I said, here's the problem with that. That these do not become your brothers and sisters, they become potential clients. That's the problem with someone who comes to church and doesn't understand that this is not a networking place for us to get a job. Or a networking place for me to grow my business. This is the house of worship of God. You see, people can camouflage themselves. And because it's a high trust environment, it's easy for us to be able to do that. I want us to become a people that are discerning in who we listen to, with what weight we listen to that. So this idea of online worship is a temporal thing. You can't get to know someone simply through the screen. You think you know that athlete. You think you know that actor. You think you know that person. You don't know them. You've never met them.
Right.
Truth matters.
Right.
Jesus says these are the kind of worshipers that he seeks.
Yep.
The flip side is also truth. It's also right. That if you're not worshiping like this, he does not want you. Whoa, 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 Tulia. God doesn't want us? No, not in that state. He wants us to help us. Truth matters.
Amen.
We live in a world where it is not that important. See, worship, why does truth matter? Because worship must be done in spirit and in truth.
Right.
Our thoughts about God matters because obedience matters.
Yep.
Amen.
If you heard me say nothing today, hear this next statement. Nothing. What you think determines what you do.
Amen. Absolutely.
No, let that sink in. Let that be like cooking steak where you've got to marinate it a little bit before it tastes better. or if you're cooking your chicken curry, you put some marination in it beforehand and let it soak in so that it's all in the bones and marrow. And when you get it, it tastes even better. What you think determines what you do. That's why truth matters. I love our post-secondary institution. I went to one. They call Harvard the University of Toronto of the South. I'm not sure why that is so funny. I went to the University of Toronto. I enjoyed my years at the University of Toronto immensely. I learned so many things. It's a place where ideas come together, where the universe comes together in one city, thus university. And literally people from all over the world come and we share ideas and we think thoughts and our ideas, our mind stretches. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
And it talks about being open-minded. And that's, in general, a good thing.
Right.
But I tell you, don't be so open-minded that your mind falls out. Because if you want a philosophy or an idea or a theology, if you look, you will find it. If you want to look for something that itches your ears, that you agree with, you will find it somewhere. I pray to God, that's not how you make decisions. The truth matters. I can't tell you how many times I felt good about something and I was wrong. This might blow you away. Once upon a time, I was an idiot. And there was other girls that I was dating before Melanie. And I thought, of course, the world didn't exist before that, but I'm just purely using as an illustration here today. But I thought, hey, this is a good relationship. Well, a lot of those people that I was interested in at some time and I felt good about aren't even faithful to God today. I can't imagine a world. I cannot imagine a world where I will put that much weight on such an important part of my life, playing Russian roulette with my spiritual life. All in the name of it feels good. Therefore, it must be right. Something so good can't be wrong.
Come on now.
That's what the book of Acts talks about, the people who were in Egypt. He says, they enjoyed the pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable. Sin feels good. The kind of worshipers that the Father seeks is the one where truth actually matters.
Amen.
Obedience is a result of spiritual teaching. The whole idea of sound doctrine, you know what it means? Healthy teaching.
Amen.
That's literally what it means. Healthy teaching. It used to be if you wore a jacket and tie and you stand in the pulpit, that was the attire for the day. Okay, that's what preachers used to use. Now they want to be cooler. me, okay? So we don't do that anymore. We come with a jacket but no tie. Sacrilegious. There's some places now, it's golf shirt and shorts, even inside. I haven't gotten there yet, okay? I'm sorry, I have to wear a jacket. It has to be part of my attire. Okay, I'm old school that way. But the point is that someone goes up there and we speak with some energy like I am, but I want you to decipher and discern what I'm saying, whether or not it's true,
right?
Because it matters and it determines your actual things that you do. So what you think stems from what you are taught and your doctrine, what you believe. And what you believe, if it's not right, will lead you to chasing the wind.
Yeah.
You ever chase the wind?
No.
It's hard to catch.
Yeah. A little bit.
I can't grab it. It's so important. And so Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, and he talks about this idea, right? He talks about this idea of to be mindful of all deceptive teaching and be careful, or if you are not mindful of the teachings and the proper teaching, you actually remain immature.
Right.
That's what he says in Ephesians. I don't have time to turn there, but that's what it says. It's a crime that we know more about the Leafs than we knew about God. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed, verse 2, to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind must be renewed in order to obey God and worship God truly.
Yep.
Or else it's like me saying to you, congratulations on winning the Olympics. And
right.
You say, what are you talking about? But if I'm so deceived, and I will even go with the lie that says more about me than the person who's actually saying it. So much so, we will allow someone to believe something to be true about you because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Have you ever done this? I have. Someone says to me, hey, Andrew. What's up, man? Hey, how you doing? For the fear of not telling them the truth and hurting their feelings, I let them continue to talk to me as if I were Andrew. That says more about me than the person who made the mistake.
Right.
It shows a weak character that I will actually, for the sake of having someone's feelings not get hurt, that the truth to me did not matter. And that extends to our spiritual lives. And so this morning, what I wanted to do is to get us to be healthy in the faith with sound doctrine. And the Bible warns us to correct people kindly, patiently, and prayerfully. Some people do bad things with doctrine, but the solution to bad doctrine is not no doctrine. And so this morning, as we examine the scriptures, so many times when Paul wrote, or James writes, and he says, when he talks about obedience, he says, don't you know? Or why would you do that? Because you know this. Don't you know? Doctrine, far from being a matter of abstract theory, is actually the stuff of real life. This morning, let us not be those people who worship God,
right,
not based on truth.
Yeah.
I tried to illustrate that this morning, that it's meaningless. It's at best hollow. At best, Evelyn feels sorry for me. Oh, that poor uninformed soul. Does truth matter to you? No, I'm not talking whether or not it should matter. I think we can all answer that question. Does it really matter? What do you think? Your thinking informs your obedience. Tozer also says, what you think about God may be the most important thing you do. Because it evokes. And that's why sometimes when we are here and we are not singing with our minds and we just mouth songs, I just am concerned. I don't want to be in judgment because there are other issues that are going on. But let it be that your mind informs your worship. I'm not talking only about singing, but about what we do with our lives.
Right.
I used to. I used to be when I was a younger person, when I was much more uninformed. Hey, he said this, therefore. Cristiano Ronaldo makes $200 million a year just being an influencer. That's not to count his $400 million on soccer. He has 900 million followers on social media. There was once, he was sitting at a conference, and there was a Coke bottle. And he took the Coke bottle, and he put it on the floor. And the price of Coke stock dropped. There are times we watch a TikTok or a Instagram or, you know, whatever your social media of choice is. And somebody, oh, this person got this many likes. It must be true then. Hope is a good thing. It's not the only thing. There are people that will sell you something based on hope. Mm-hmm. We are a generation where we have the most information at our fingertips, right, and we are the least to do research.
Right.
We literally have the world's encyclopedia at our fingertips,
right,
in a moment.
Right.
Very few ever actually check it out.
Right.
Truth, church, matters.
Right.
And so that's what I wanted to get your mind thinking today. And to ask yourself some questions. Why do I believe what I believe? Why? Is it simply because I hope for a change? Full disclosure, there are times, because I want my swing to be better so badly, I will click on one of those sponsors. And I know it's sponsored. Here's the crazy one. I know it's advertising. I'm hoping that it's going to help me. And I'm willing to waste, you know, one of those videos, keep watching, and 20 minutes into it, you're still watching. Will you please tell me what to do? But the whole idea of a hope that people's and the truth did not matter, it sucked me in. Based on hope and not simple truth. And you know what I started doing? I started blaming the video, not me. It's never my fault. What an idiotic generation of which I'm a part of it. We do not embrace responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. If we embrace these simple truths in life, that Jesus Christ is the truth. What we believe matters. Yeah. It dictates what we do. How we think dictates what we do. And so therefore we've got to think correctly. Amen. And not because I say this makes it true, okay? I want to put that caveat. But one of the most somber time for me is this moment before you. That I don't abuse the attention that you pay to me. Because this is a high trust environment and I've got a decent shirt on, that doesn't mean I'm telling you the truth. And Satan's using the pulpit to wreck people's faith all the time. And when the truth comes out, I can't believe anymore. And so today, there's a truth that we can bank on. And that truth is that God did not spare his son. Instead, he gave him up for us. That God looked at us in spite of who we are. He gave his son. And so as we think about truth this morning, let's bank on this truth as we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. After all, Paul says, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so we gather together for you to hear me yell. But ultimately, for me to challenge your mind, to challenge your heart, to become a discerning people. Amen. We'll be about to take the communion. If you don't have your communion, please go ahead and raise your hand. Raise your hand. Ushers, if we can come out and help. Thank you. Where were you? Were you late, Melanie? Is that what? Please raise your hand after you get it. Please put your hands down. Great. So at this point in time, church, as we wrap up this moment and this time in our service, I want to say to you, truth matters. Because those are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks.
Amen.
Not only about being happy, but about being truthful. Let us not have vain worship. Vain worship is worship not based on who God is not. Because if we worship God about something that he is not, then it's called idolatry.
Amen. Right. Yeah. Wow.
But if I authentically encourage Evelyn about the fact that she's a true servant of Christ and the way that she serves the children in this congregation, and she does it without thankfulness and without looking for gratitude, then in her heart, the blood starts beating a little quicker.
Amen.
And there's literally adrenaline that comes in because you know why? It's true.
Right.
True, yeah. Amen.
God did not spare his son.
Amen.
Because you needed him, and everybody knows I needed him. Let us give thanks for the body and blood of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you gave us your word that is a lamp unto our feet. You gave us your spirit that we can worship you acceptably. But you gave us your word that is truth. And Father, I pray as we worship you this morning, it's based on truth. Because those are the worshipers that you seek.
Amen.
And Father, we are thankful for this big, big truth. That your son died for us. That his body was sacrificed for us. That his blood was spilt for us. That he bought us back with the shedding of his blood. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And may you receive every glory, honor, and praise. Amen.